extra good. I told my guys, look, I'm about to throw in the towel and just go home. I almost called Jimmy and said, hey, man, I can't preach tonight. I don't want to be here. Satan was really taking his dagger and just digging it in. And any other day, and then I realized, you know, that any other day would have been fine. It just been another day. But today, because I have the opportunity to share with what God has put on my heart with you guys, Satan said, nah, man, let's not do that. Look here, as a matter of fact, it's going to snow today. There's an out. You're not in the best mood as it is. There's an out. But I realized that that temptation was just that, a temptation. And I realized that I'm going to be here. I'm going to show up regardless of what the enemy's trying to do. And I'm going to get this message out to you guys that God has put on my heart. So the message tonight is going to be about battling temptations. And we all go through this probably on a daily basis. There's always something that has slid in our path, that is put in our path for us to jump over, try and go through, or stop us dead in our tracks. And as we progress in our walk with Christ, as we figure out what He wants for our life, we know how, you know, as we go on that path, we know how better to go around those temptations or fight those temptations. So if you have your Bibles, please join me in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 is where I'll be at. Tonight we're going to be in a couple places. We'll be in 1 John first, and then we're going to move to Genesis chapter 3, and then we'll be back in Matthew chapter 4, and it's all going to be about temptations. So, First John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to come to you tonight, Lord, and I just want to thank you for all the individuals who decided to show up tonight, Lord. Regardless of the weather, they knew it was going to get bad. It's still getting bad out there, God, and I just pray for a blessing on our way home as we travel, God. Tonight, I pray that as we make an attempt to glorify you through song and through word, Lord, that you hear us, you hear our prayer requests, God, and that you're glorified through all that we do, all the actions that we do tonight, all the words that are spoken, and all the hearts that are open, God. And I pray that somebody here tonight, Lord, can be moved by the Spirit. And I pray just for a Spirit-filled house. Even though we have a few people, God, your Spirit can move, and He can do wonderful things, Lord, and that's what we're asking tonight. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here in verse 15, love not the world. So the things of the world we're not supposed to love. We're not supposed to dabble in. In verse 16 is where I want to focus on. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So these three things here are what I would call like they're three temptations, but they're umbrellaed. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We have these three things in which all of the sin that we either committed, have committed, or going to commit, fall into these categories of temptation. So I want to kind of quickly define each of these so we get a little bit better understanding of what they are, and then we'll move on from there and see how each of these three things were spoken about. There's stories in the Bible that we're going to talk about tonight. But the first one is the lust of the flesh. And this temptation is the temptation to feel or the desire to feel physical pleasure. Okay, this is from an ungodly context. It's something that we want to pleasure our flesh via means of sin. It's not like we see a pizza and we want to eat it because it tastes good. Because obviously God gives us taste buds. He's given us certain things that are pleasurable to us, like food, a lot of other things that He's given to us that are not necessarily sinful. But some of the things that are sinful that fall under this umbrella of the lust of the flesh is premarital sex, drugs, alcohol, violence. All of these things, all of these sins fall under this lust of the flesh. So we see, simply put, really, this temptation is to feel physical pleasure from a sinful act or activity. As simple as that. The next one is the lust of the eyes. So we all know that one, I would imagine. We all probably know all of them. We all have been a part of one of if not all three of these things. But the lust of the eyes is the temptation to desire or to covet something that is not yours, that is somebody else's. A lot of times when we talk about this, it is a spouse, it is a house, it is a car, it is a job, it is something physical that somebody has that you want that is not yours. We look at, affairs happen because of this, and also because of the lust of the flesh. But in short, it's that glitz and glam temptation. I see that, it's sparkly, it's shiny, it's new, I want that. And we want something, like I said, we want something that does not necessarily belong to us. Somebody's wife, somebody's husband, job, status, whatever it may be. And the last of these is the pride of life. And this one God specifically talks about, and he does not like this one. This is the temptation that got Satan banned. This pride, this wanting to be like God is what got him from Lucifer to Satan banned. So God doesn't take this one lightly. And this is the temptation to feel greatness or exert power, have this powerful self-image that is almost like a ruler mentality that I'm going to be the best regardless of, I'm going to be better than you, I'm going to be better than you, I'm going to be better than you. This kind of puffed out chest, this egotistical sin that no matter what I do, I'm going to be the best at it. It's not a competitive thing. It's a sin thing that, we want to take credit for what others are doing. Or what God is doing. We want to say, hey, no, I did all of that. I want to take credit for this. Do you know who I am? Surely you know who I am. That type of attitude is what this is talking about. I'm going to be better. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to be, go further than anybody else because of who I am, my name. And this doesn't drive well with God. He doesn't quite enjoy this pride of life. And, being the boss at work, I oftentimes have to remind myself that, hey, I'm not working for Fort Wayne Metals. I'm working for Jesus, and I have to be an example to these people, to my workers, and how to live a Christian life. It's not me telling you what to do, although I have that power, and that's within my job description to tell them what to do. I don't do that. I can't do that. I can't make myself say, hey, I'm not going to do this, but because of my title and who I am, I'm going to make you guys do that. It doesn't work like that. And this is what that temptation is about, to exercise power or dominion over others. And so like I was saying, every sin that we have committed, that we are committing, or that we're going to commit, fall into these three temptations. And Satan used all three of these in the garden with Eve. And that's where we're going to turn to next, is Genesis chapter 3. As you turn, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. So verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he had said unto the woman, yeah, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, when your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And here we go. Here's where it starts. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Something I want to point out. Verse 1, we see Satan's character here. First time is mentioned. Subtle. I looked at it. I didn't know what that was. I thought it said subtle for a long time, and I read it the wrong way, but it says subtle. It means cunning, crafty, deceitful. I'm not sure what your guys' versions say, but it's probably something along those lines. He's very... very conniving. He wants you to feel like you're doing the right thing. He wants you to feel like, hey, it's okay to do this if you just do it a little bit. It's okay to do this if you just do it, if you're not fully committing to, but you just halfway do it. And that's not what God wants for us. And we know through His Word that that's not what He wants for us, and that's what we ought not to do, to fall into this temptation. But so we see His Satan's character, in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, surely you can imagine this conversation that was going on. Snake slithers up to the woman, says, "Hey, is it true that God said that you can't eat whatever you want in this garden?" And the lady says, "Yeah, we can eat whatever we want except for the one thing that God told us not to do." And in verse 3, I find it a bit odd that she is admitting to Satan that God said we cannot have this. We can have anything else, but God said we cannot have this fruit. So she is hearing the temptation. She's hearing the tempter. She's acknowledging God's rule, and she still breaks it. She still goes on. But we see that the temptation starts as a temptation in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it's these little things. Eve is sticking around listening. It's these little things. Hey, did God really say, you're not going to die? Just take a bite. Just do this. Just do that. It's just a little thing. It's not that big of a deal, right? And so the longer that we stick around these temptations, the longer we listen to that person, hey, we're having this party this weekend. Why don't you come back? I know you used to do drugs. I know you used to live this lifestyle. Why don't you come back? Just for a little bit. Just see what happens. Just say hi to some of your old buddies. Come on back. Just for 15 minutes. This is what's happening here. It's not that big of a deal. You've done it your whole life. Just come back. But acknowledging God and knowing, no, this isn't what He wants for me. This isn't what He wants for me. This temptation, I can beat this. But we see here that Eve's temptation, or this temptation for her, gets to be too much. It gets to be too much. She starts listening. She starts buying into the temptation. And in verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So there's that lust of the flesh. She sees it. She probably had every other fruit, every other vegetable in that garden. She had to have known what that all tasted like. And then Satan came. Hey, try this one. This is the one you haven't had. Don't you want a taste of it? So she saw it was good for flesh. She knew it was going to benefit her body. She knew it was going to be good for her physically. But it was the rule that God had that she shouldn't be eating it. And she knew that as well. Verse 3 tells us that. So one, the lust of the flesh. Going on, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, I've never seen a vegetable that I thought, yep, that's the one for me. I'm going to smash on some broccoli or carrots. Never crossed my mind. But here, I don't know what that fruit looked like. I don't know what that, it could have been a car, it could have been a person, it could have been, the thing was, it was something that Eve wanted. For us, it could be a woman, a man, a car, a job. It can be whatever it is, whatever that temptation is for her. It was a fruit. It was the one thing that she didn't have. She had a husband. She had a marriage. She had freedom. She had perfection for a short time. She had everything she could have. She had everything that she could want, except for the one thing God said, no, hands off. And she fell to it. So she saw it was good for food. She saw it was pleasant to the eyes. And in a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she saw it was good for food, saw it looked good, and then she realized, if I take a bite of this, if I dive into this head first, don't look back, no question, just go, what's the worst that'll happen? This guy is telling me, a person that I've never met before, the first time I've ever seen a snake talk to me, but I'm buying into it because I don't know any better. I don't know any better. And this battle, this temptation battle that's happening is no different than what happens to us daily. And I was talking to Jimmy right before this, and I said, you know, a lot of the times these battles, think of war, okay, just for a second. Think of war. I don't know of any country or any person or any military in the world that pulls somebody off a street, zero training, throws them to the front lines, say, hey, here's an M16, you're on the front lines, you know all the tactics, good, take care of it. No. They send them to basic training. They send them to these firearms classes. They send them to all sorts. I've never been in the military, but they send them to all these schoolings, professions that they get really good at, that they train in, that they know what they're doing before they go into battle. Here, Eve didn't train. She didn't know anything other than what this serpent was telling her. She didn't prepare for this battle of temptation. She didn't prepare. Right? The battle's not won on the battlefield. The battle is won in the training, in the preparation, and knowing, hey, I see this temptation because I've seen it before. Here's what I've done about it up to this point. So when I see it again, it has no effect on me. And it's the same thing. She didn't have that though. And the reason she failed, flesh. She failed because she was thinking in the flesh and she was not thinking in the spirit. And it happens, it happens to all of us. And the more we stick around it, the more we buy into it, the more we want to hold on to it and listen to our past, listen to what this guy's telling me, listen to what she's telling me, looking at this and buying into it, the more real it becomes and the harder it becomes to get away from it. And so recognizing when you're being tempted is huge. When you know, oh, I've felt this before. I know what this is about. I've had this feeling before. I know it's coming. Just like today at work, Satan, hey man, call off. Tell him you don't want to come in. And I've been there just about every time I've preached. I've had that same temptation. Why don't you just call off, man? You got plenty of other people there that are willing to preach. Plenty of other people there that'll fill your spot. It's not about filling a spot. It's not about filling a spot. It's about doing what God has called you to do. And part of that is not falling into temptation. Excuse me, I'm getting killed tonight. So they fell because of flesh, and it happened to them, and it's going to happen to us as well. But Jesus was also tempted the exact same way. Jesus also had these three temptations. It looked a little different, but it was the exact same. And I want to tell you guys that, coming to me a little bit, and I wasn't sure if I was going to say it, but the Spirit's pushed me to. Serving God, it's not a contest. It's not a something that you need to be. It's not a contest. It's not you have to be better at somebody that, you know, you don't have to be better. I don't have to be better singer than Ashley to serve, to worship God. I don't have to be better preacher than Jimmy or Phil to get up here and share with what God's put on my heart. It's not about competition. It's not about, hey, because I feel inadequate every time I step up here. I feel inadequate every time I sing down there. But you know what? God's calling me to do it. And I could listen to Satan's in this temptation of, dude, you're not good enough anyway. Or you're better than this person. Why waste your time on it? You already know you're better. Or you already know you're worse. Don't do it. That's not what it's about. So serving the Lord at whatever capacity you serve him at. Like Maddie, thank you for coming in today. You had no idea what you're doing back there. But you did it. You stepped up to the plate. Jimmy, he's not the greatest at the sound, but he stepped up because he needed a hold of Phil. Right? He's going to cut my mic off. But he did it, right? It's not about, oh, yeah, I was the best sound person, or Jeremy's the best sound, or Alex is. It's about doing what God's called you to do at whatever time he's called you to do it at. But moving past that, Jesus was tempted as well. And let's see how he reacted. Let's see his character and see how he listened to the devil or did not listen to the devil. So Matthew chapter 4. And this is when he was in the wilderness. After he got baptized, Jesus went to the wilderness. So chapter 4, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. So, back in Genesis, we've seen in verse 1 the characteristics of Satan. He's very sly, very cunning. He wants to manipulate everything and make it what he wants, just so you don't obey God. Jesus here, we can see his character right in verse 1 as well. Then Jesus led up of the Spirit. So everything he did, he was led by the Spirit. He let the Spirit of God move in him, use him, work with him, so that he was well equipped when he came to things like this. But verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So 40 days, fasted for 40 days. In high school, I was cutting weight, and I wrestled a 125-pound weight class. I cut from 145 my senior year, and I was already this big as a 145-pounder, so I had nothing to give. My eyes were all sunken in, looked like a zombie. It was terrible. But it wasn't uncommon that I would go days without eating or days without drinking because I had to maintain my weight. Terrible way to do it. Wouldn't recommend it. I learned quickly how to do it the right way, but that's what I knew at the time. But 3 days is the longest that I've ever went without eating when I was doing something like competing and burning a lot of calories. But 40 days with no food, no physical food, 40 days. That's a long time. And then the first thing when he gets off that, Satan comes to him. He's going to come. He came to Adam and Eve in the garden. He met Jesus in the wilderness. He doesn't care who you are. If you let up an ounce of fear or uncertainty, he's going to drive that wedge between you and God because he's good at it. And he's going to, in his little taps, slam a wedge in. It's not one big boom, sledgehammer blow. It's these little, you know, those little plastic toy hammers that you hammer with the fake pegs. It's some little taps, tap, 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 tap. Doesn't look like it's moving. That wedge doesn't look like it's moving. Tap, tap. Each one of them little taps, tap, 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 tap. You're getting further and further away from God and what he wants you to do. And you're getting closer and closer to that temptation and that sin. Little taps, and he's good at them. What we see in verse 3, he tempted him that he wanted these. If you are who you say you are, and I know you're hungry, why don't you make these stones bread? And Jesus says, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, and by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So right there, he combats that temptation because he's prepared for it. He said, no, here's what the word says. Here's what I'm doing to be proactive about this temptation. I'm not going to do it. Maybe he wanted to do it. I don't know what he was going through. But I know that after 3 days, I was starved to death. And I was wanting anything. I would eat anything, but I couldn't. But 40 days, forget about it. But we see how he responds. Eve stuck around. She liked what she heard. She didn't have, she had a little bit of she contested it a little bit by saying, well, God said this, but she never said, no, this is how it is. Jesus is saying, no, this is how it is. I'm not doing this. Verses 5 and 6 say, so after that didn't work, then the devil took him up to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hands, and they shall bear you up, least any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So here's this pride of life temptation that comes into Jesus, saying, okay, so I didn't get you with the food, but if you are who you say you are, why don't you throw yourself off this mountain? Why don't you throw yourself off this peak? Because God said that the angels will save you. And, okay, that sounds okay, right? But what does Jesus say? It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he sees what's going on. Again, he's prepared for this. We look back at Jesus' life as a kid. Where was he when he was, 11 years old? Ran away from home. His parents were freaking out. Where's Jesus at? How do you lose the Son of God? I don't know, but he's freaking out, right? Where'd they find him? In the temple. He was already preparing from a very young age. He knew what he was up against. He knew what he had to look forward to. And it wasn't all this sugar-coated, have your best life. You know, you're the Son of God. You can do what you want. He never referred to himself as the Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of Man. He had full well, he could have said, no, do you know who I am? And he had every right to say, yeah, I can do that. And guess what? I'll chuck you off this mountain too. And no angels are going to save you. But he said, no. It is written that you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So being very sure with what he's saying. He's standing up to what Satan is saying to him. He's not hanging around. Satan's taking him places, right? He's not saying, oh, I'll listen, I'll let it sound better and better and better, and then I'll act on it. He's using God's words to defend it, to fight it. And then lastly, in verse 9, the lust of the eyes pops up. And then saith, so after this didn't work, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the things in the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things I will give thee, if you will fall down and worship me. And again, we see Jesus saying, no, I'm not going to do that. You should only worship God. And when you think about Eve being tempted in the garden, and then you think about Jesus being tempted, you say, oh, well, yeah, well, no, duh. Jesus was going to obviously not give in to it, but there was a reason. Because do you realize how real these temptations were for Jesus? It wasn't like, oh, hey, come over here, you know, there's a prettier girl, or there's a better job, or there's this. No, 40 days without food. That's a real temptation. And he could have had all of these things. He was the Son of God. He could have rightfully taken all of these things. He didn't take the food. He didn't buckle to Satan. Jumping off the ledge, he didn't do that either. He could have done that, and the angels would have saved him. He could have saved himself. But he didn't do that either. And this last one, this one that the lust of the eyes for this one really stuck out to me is he knew, Satan said, hey, look at all this stuff. Look at all these kingdoms. Look at all this power that you could have. He knew Jesus could have had that right then. Boom. But that wasn't God's plan. He knew in the long run, this is all going to be mine. This is all mine. Satan was trying to sell it to him early. He's trying to say, take it now. Don't listen to God. Don't follow the plan that God has for your life. Take what's yours now. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. Why? Because he was led of the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1 says that he was led up of the Spirit. When you're led of the Spirit into something, there's little room for error. Yeah, sure, there's temptations. We see that. But how we react to them is the outcome. Is a temptation going to be a temptation, or is it going to be a sin? Because you have a choice. You can fall into that temptation and make it a sin, or you can leave it as a temptation. So the difference between the temptation in the garden and the temptation in the wilderness is flesh and spirit, and sin, and temptation. I'm going to be wrapping up here shortly, but if you have Jesus in your life right now, and you've experienced that relationship, and you've asked him into your heart, and you believe fully that you're going to heaven, you've admitted, you've confessed, you've been baptized, all of these things, you've repented, you can have this same path that Jesus went down. You can equip yourself. God's given us everything that we need to equip ourselves for these temptations. It's a matter of, are you going to crack into it? Are you going to listen when someone talks? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to dive into his word and figure out and look and seek truth? Are you going to get home from work, kick your boots off, turn on the TV, and that spirit saying, hey, why don't you do something worthwhile? Why don't you do something worthwhile? Why don't you do something that's going to have an eternal effect? Why don't you do something that's not just going to be dumbing you down or taking a load off? Why don't you dive into my word and see what I have for you today? And even when temptation happens, we know that God promises a way out. God is going to give us a way out of this temptation. And it's not that temptation's not going to happen, because we see that it's going to, but how well equipped are you going to be for when it happens? And in closing, you know, we can always choose obedience over sin. We can always choose to say no to the temptations which lead to sin. We can always choose to say no. And temptations will happen. But 5%, I heard a speaker say one time, life's going to happen. But 5% of that life happening is life happening. The other 95% is how you react to it. And it's the same thing with temptation. Temptation's going to happen. But the 5% of that is the temptation happening. The other 95% is the choices and the attitude that you're going to have towards that temptation. If you let it eat at you, and you let it stew, and you stick around super long, oh, buddy, it's going to chew you up, and it's going to spit you out, and you're going to be right back in line to do the same thing that God has called you out of. If you're a believer, and you're going back to these temptations because it feels good, or you don't have anybody else, or you don't know a way out, you do. You're choosing to fall into it. You're choosing to go back to it. You're choosing to have the attitude of, I know better than God, or I'm sick of this God stuff, or whatever it is, you know. If you have the Holy Spirit, you know. And as we stand, I want to ask you a question in closing. So, we've seen in Genesis, the first time we've seen Satan's character. We've seen what he was about. Deceit, lies, half-truths. Then we go to the wilderness and we see Jesus' character. He was faithful. He listened to the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. He is who we are modeling ourselves after. So there's Satan, there's Christ, there's sin, salvation. What is your character tonight? Are you leaning on the edge of sin, temptation, like Eve did? Are you on the flip side of that? You have salvation. You have salvation. You have that those character qualities that Jesus possessed, that if you have him live in you. The choice is yours. And unfortunately, we don't have much time left on this earth. You've seen eternity on Sunday. Eternity starts here. It's all a choice. And God doesn't love anybody less than anybody else. But he does look at some as children and some as sinners. You have a choice. Examine yourself. Look at your character. Think, what is that temptation in my life? Be able to realize it. Be able to recognize when the enemy is trying to drive that wedge in. Those little taps, little taps, little taps. You know what they feel like. We've all been there. We know what they feel like. You're going to seal that hole with Christ or sin. Those are your options. The altar is open. Now, if anybody would like to come down and pray, if anybody would like me to pray with them, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Awesome, God. So we'll see if Phil can get it up there. I left it up there for him, so hopefully. Yay! Space bar. Yay! Okay. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, well, you guys glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight? Yes, good. So am I. This was the best part about my day, and I'm glad I was able to share with you what God has put on my heart. It's so cool. Riley, if you'd like to come down, she gave her life to Christ tonight, and it's so cool to, it's so cool that she wants to continue on this path of, or start on this path of eternal life, and it's awesome to see that the Spirit's moving in this place tonight. So I will go ahead and pray out, and if you guys want to, what word am I looking for? Starline, come down here and congratulate her, give her a hug, welcome her to the family of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you first and foremost for this salvation, God. We thank you for another believer, another sister in Christ, God, and we just pray that you keep her path straight, that you let your Spirit guide her in all of her endeavors, Lord, in all that she does. We thank you for that commitment, Lord, and we just pray that as she goes on about her life, Lord, that she can remember this moment, God, and never forget what it was like to have the Holy Spirit take up residency inside of her, Lord. Thank you for everybody who decided to show up tonight, Lord, and pick the better thing over whatever. I know weather was a little bit of an issue and a hindrance, Lord, but we thank you for the small group that was here tonight. And Lord, help us to fight our temptations. Help us to be prepared for those battles that we're going to face day in and day out, Lord. And help us to be more aware and recognize when those temptations happen. And not to hang out, Lord, but to combat it with your word and scripture, God. We love you. We ask for a safe trip home. And everybody said...